It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. It's Wednesday, November 28th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, sharing an announcement from a rising pop star that showcases the downside of fame.
And I'm going to be talking about a couple of lawsuits in the music world that both show why any potential ownership dispute you might have is really something you want to get nailed down sooner rather than later. But first, a few more of today's headlines. Beck has paid tribute to Steven Hillenburg, the SpongeBob SquarePants creator who just died at age 57, with a Facebook post revealing something that a lot of people did not know about a connection between Beck and SpongeBob.
So did Beck sing one of the songs? I don't remember him being featured in the musical.
No, actually. So Beck wrote on Facebook, "Very sad to hear the news of the passing of Steven Hillenburg, who years and years ago used to be my neighbor and kindly did the artwork for the first music that I ever released."
What?
Yeah, so
that's really cool.
Yeah, the first music Beck ever released was back in 1993. It was a two-sided single. The songs MTV Makes Me Want to Smoke Crack and To See That Woman of Mine. I'm going to show this art to you, Jay, and you tell me what this looks
like
SpongeBob to you.
I'll try and paint a vocal picture. It does actually weirdly look like SpongeBob if, like, Dolly did SpongeBob. You know, it's kind of falling apart. There are weird drippings. It's a humorous drawing for sure.
Beck went on to write, "I always remembered him as a genuinely sweet guy."
Oh.
Entertainment icon Rita Moreno, whose EGOT includes an Oscar for her role as Anita in the 1961 film version of West Side Story. It's the character who sings America, the song everyone knows if you know one song from West Side Story.
I know you know.
Smoke on your pipe and put Latin.
So Rita Moreno has been cast in Steven Spielberg's forthcoming West Side Story movie. So Steven Spielberg is creating a new movie based on the musical. And Rita Moreno, who's now 86 and killed it at last year's Oscars with a special appearance, she's going to play a revised version of the character Doc, who's the owner of the corner store where the Sharks and the Jets hang out.
I love it, because you can't really do it without her.
It's going to be amazing. She's also going to serve as an executive producer on the film, which begins filming next year. Next month, the Christmas classic Silent Night turns 200 years old. U.S. celebrations of the carol, which originated in Austria, kicked off Tuesday night with a performance of the song at the New York City church where the song made its American debut in 1839. The Kroll family singers, who are an Austrian group, joined other performers to sing the song at the Alexander Hamilton Memorial in the Trinity Churchyard. According to Billboard, quote, "The singers stood in front of the memorial in the darkened yard as onlookers gathered and horns from passing cars beeped on nearby streets. The Kroll singers opened the carol with verses in the original German, followed by the Trinity singers with verses in languages including French, Spanish, and finally English." We have audio of the Kroll family singers singing that song without the beeping cars on another occasion. Here they are singing Silent Night.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a 16-year-old touring musician in 2018. I mean, everyone has their phones out to document every single move you're making on stage. If they catch you outside of the stadium, they want to get a photo with you, get some video. And maybe it's even those photos of yourself or those videos of yourself, you really hope that they wouldn't. So for Billie Eilish, the singer who gained fame with Ocean Eyes in 2016, hugely popular on Spotify, things finally got to a point with her fans that she had to make a statement that she really hoped that she wouldn't have to. Her fans had taken to making these compilation videos of Eilish with a variety of physical tics and posting them in kind of a joking fashion. And in response to those videos, Eilish announced online that she has Tourette's syndrome, which is this incurable condition that involves uncontrollable repetitive movements and unwanted sounds, and these are the tics. Well, according to Eilish, her tics are only physical, and she works really hard to suppress them, especially when she's on stage. And the reason why she's never mentioned this online or really anywhere in any of her interviews or anything before is just because she never wanted people to think of Tourette's every time they thought of her. And she continued, These compilations y'all been making of my tics are low-key funny, even when y'all are making fun of them. I know you are confused as to what it is, so just to let you know, it's Tourette's.
Hopefully, Billie Eilish talking about this will help people understand Tourette's, because it seems like a very misunderstood condition. How many characters have you seen in movies or TV shows where Tourette's is portrayed as being something funny? They shout the wrong things at the most hilariously or would be hilariously inappropriate times. And so I understand where if this is a condition that you have, you might not want people to think, oh, Tourette's, because they have this cartoonish misunderstanding of it, when the reality is that it's much more subtle.
Yeah, and she was super generous to her fans, saying, you know, I know you weren't trying to be mean-spirited, but you just don't know. She said, if you have more questions, you can come to me. Billie Eilish is currently on tour supporting her 2017 album, Don't Smile at Me, and she's released a bunch of new singles like the creepily powerful jam, You Should See Me in a Crown.
You should see me in a crown. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hell. Watch me make them bow.
There are two lawsuits in the music news today. One of them pits Don Everly against the estate of his late brother and bandmate, Phil. The disputes over the Everly Brothers' hit Kathy's Clown, originally released in 1960 and then became a country hit for Reba McEntire in 1989. Initially, the Everly Brothers were listed as co-writers, but then in 1980, Phil Everly signed an agreement relinquishing his claims on the song. Phil Everly died in 2014, and his estate then filed to reclaim some of Phil's ownership in the song. So that's the legal wrangling that's been going on.
Yikes, that sounds like a lot of family going back and forth.
Yeah, and so a judge has just ruled that Don does get to keep full credit for the song, saying that, you know, there may have been some loopholes in that agreement that was signed in 1980, but it certainly seems that Phil wanted to acknowledge that Don was the author of that song and that he had no songwriting claims on it. Another lawsuit has LL Cool J suing the hip-hop festival Rock the Bells.
Oh, yeah, I can see where this is going, yeah.
Right, because LL Cool J has a 1985 hit single called Rock the Bells.
Mm-hmm.
Like the estate of Phil Everly, LL Cool J might be a little bit late to the lawsuit game, because here's the thing. The Rock the Bells Festival launched in 2004 and has become a major festival. It made headlines in 2013 when hologram versions of ODB and Eazy-E performed at the festival. So why now is LL Cool J suddenly deciding, no, Rock the Bells is just my thing? Well, it probably has something to do with the fact that he just launched a Sirius XM channel called Rock the Bells.
Oh, yeah, that one's going to be sticky, because what's more popular?
So observers are saying that both of these lawsuits are an example of why, if there's any kind of a potential dispute over who owns a name, who wrote a song, who has credit for what, get that locked down sooner rather than later. Don't come by decades after the fact and try to get things sorted out. And it's also an example of why songwriting partnerships like Lennon and McCartney just decided, here's the thing, we're just going to go 50-50. That's just how it's going to be, and then there won't be any lawsuits, there won't be any disputes. Yeah, we'll be frustrated years from now when people talk about Yesterday as a Lennon-McCartney song, when really, it was just Paul McCartney. But you know what? No lawsuits. There's a new trailer for Vox Lux, the forthcoming movie that stars Natalie Portman as a glam pop star who achieved teenage fame after a school shooting.
And I already know that it's going to be my Halloween costume for next year, because this is an epic look for Natalie Portman.
So Natalie Portman appears in this new trailer singing a song from the movie that was co-written by Sia and Greg Kurstin.
And I think this is actually Natalie Portman singing. And if so, she does a phenomenal job.
She does a great job playing a star, and she is, after all, a star, and I can totally see her in that character. Here's what kind of threw me about the trailer, though. So the movie flips back between the present day, where Natalie Portman is an adult star, and the past, when she achieves fame as a teenager after this tragic shooting. And there's another actor playing the teenage Natalie Portman, which kind of takes some wrapping your mind around, because we all know extremely well what Natalie Portman looked like as a 16-year-old, and it's pretty much exactly like she does now. It might have been a stretch to have her play herself at age 16, but I would have just gone for it.
Well, hopefully we can see it and we can tell you all about it. But until then, at least we have the song.
Hey, turn the light on.
And that's today's music news. You can see that trailer and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Cecilia Johnson. Don't forget to rate and review our podcast wherever you get podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines.
I will follow.